CBO projects the federal deficit to be $2.8 trillion in 10 years. The CBO also says that federal debt will be $52 trillion by 2033. At what point do you talk more firmly with lawmakers about fiscal responsibility? Because I'm assuming monetary policy cannot handle alone the inflation or keep that inflation in check with the higher level spending.
I don't do that. That's really not my job. I will say, and many of my predecessors have said, that we're on an unsustainable fiscal path and that needs to be addressed over time. But I think trying to get into that with lawmakers would be kind of inappropriate given our independence and our need to stick to our knitting.
We're at the phase now, we're at the exponential phase with the US. I mean, you can see that the interest on the debt is gonna be $1.5 trillion by the end of this year. We're borrowing $1 trillion every 100 days. It's a fiscal train wreck. And yeah, you're talking about a bankrupt treasury.
Hey friends, Sean from SGT Report here. $52 trillion by 2033. You think we're going to make it to 2033? I'll be surprised if we make it to 2026. Friends, Bill Holter is back to talk brass tacks, silver, and gold. You need to get some right now. Thanks for tuning in, friends. Before we start, just a quick word about our sponsor. Gold has been on an epic, nearly unstoppable run. It's happening. Central banks are ditching the dollar and U.S. treasuries and buying more gold. The good news? It's predicted that gold will go up a lot more. UBS has even predicted a $5,000 per ounce gold price. And Noble Gold Investments' phone has been ringing nonstop. Everybody wants to protect their retirement with gold, and you can do the same. Now, it should be said that there are no investment guarantees. Do your own due diligence. But Noble Gold Investments can help you secure gold to protect your future. From the first day you call Noble Gold Investments, you'll work with a dedicated all-American expert. So whether you're a beginner or an experienced investor, Noble Gold Investments will make sure you get all the help you need. But that's not all. This month, Noble Gold Investments will give you a free 1/4 ounce gold standard coin if you open a qualified account. So go to noblegoldinvestments.com right now. That's noblegoldinvestments.com. Or call them directly at 877-646-5347. You'll be glad you did. Hey friends, welcome back. Thank you so very much for tuning in. It's Sean from SGT Report. Guys, the SHIT is about to hit the fan, economically speaking, and people all over the world are starting to feel it. And I'll provide evidence of that for you in just one second. We're going to break it all down today with our friend Bill Holter. The website is billholter.com. Bill, welcome back. How are you?
I'm good, Sean. Thanks for having me back.
Good to see you. All right. So we are going to start with a little bit of levity today. Nothing cuter than a kid who knows what's up and knows how to explain it to mom. Check this out, Bill. Ice cream prices in the UK.
Girls, what's just happened?
So there's an ice cream van there. Just two ice creams with two chewing gums in it.
Yeah.
For bloody £9 for two of them.
£9 for two?
Yeah, £9. That is going to get nowhere. One that comes on my street is either £1 a pee or £2. That is going to get nowhere with that.
No, he ain't, is it?
No, he ain't.
That's well bad, isn't it?
He should know. And he only does bloody card. Stood there with my cash. Bloody hell.
That's well bad, isn't it?
Bloody well bad.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Betty can hear me. Bill, I had to look that up. £9. You ready for this? How much is £9? I had no idea. Two ice creams. She's outraged at the price for ice cream. It's $11.41 for two little ice creams. And that girl thinks the charlatan is trying to take advantage of her. A little thing called inflation is really starting to come into fruition here. People are feeling the pinch all over the world, aren't they?
Yeah, without a doubt. And it's a function of the fiat currencies declining in value. And I mean, you can see that when you go to the store, and you can see that when you look at gold and silver prices. I mean, that's a function of fiat declining, not gold and silver going up.
And as we're having this conversation today, silver is once again trying to break through that $30 price point. It's up 3.39% today, up a buck to $29.65. Gold is up pretty big today, too, at $2,400. What do you make of the silver price? What happens if and when we pierce that $30 number? Because the banksters seemed pretty committed to preventing that $30 price point from being pierced. I wonder if today or tomorrow might be the day. Or do you think they'll just pound it back down a buck or two?
I put an article out this past weekend titled, "This is going to be the most interesting week in many years." And whether it's this week or next week, we're already seeing volatility this week. I mean, silver's up, what, $1.50 for the week or thereabouts. And obviously $30 is the line in the sand. It's been 11, 12 years now since they smashed silver when they caught Bin Laden for the fifth time. The article that I put out, I put charts out, and I don't know if you have them or not to show the charts, but gold, silver, and the mining complex, I used the HUI index for that. Those had gotten very overbought. They were, we had a big run from late February, early March to about the middle, latter end of April. Then they relaxed in price a little bit. They're no longer overbought. But if you look at those charts, if you look at the bottom right-hand corner, you'll see, I think that's gold. Yeah, you've got gold there. That shows a hook starting to form on the MACD. And typically, when it crosses over, then you get momentum traders either upward or downwards. It looks like, you know, the hook is turning upward. If we do see these crossover, and we have a very small crossover now in silver and in the HUI, gold is lagging just a little bit. But that will give you, and since that's a daily chart, that should give you a 4 to 6 week impetus in the direction of the hook. And obviously, a gold breakout, we're at new highs or close to new highs on gold, would be around the 24-25 level. Silver, it's in your face, $30. If we go through $30, my guess is that 30 will then become the floor for silver, and we should see $50 within 3 to 6 months. And then the HUI, that's breaking out. That's got to go through the 275, 280 level. I think we're 279 right now. So it's happening while we speak. These all three should break out. If not, and they pull another rabbit out of their hat, if we get downside, you'll probably see strong downside, but the waterfall that we had 2 or 3 weeks ago, that was bought, you know, within what, $2, $3 on silver, and within $100 on gold. So the smashes are no longer. I mean, I can remember 20 years ago when they would smash gold or silver, that would be that for like the next 3 months. Now it's for the next week or 2 weeks. And it does look like buying's coming in. China's buying gold, India's buying silver.
Yeah, and I just wanted to show people this chart right here too, this waterfall event. I can hear Rustin Benham in the back of my head talking about tamping down the silver price before it gets out of control. Look at the demand here for silver as it ran up from 25 and barely touched 30. And man, did they pound that thing down hard. I'd like to know how many paper ounces of silver were sold into the market on this particular watershed event day, Bill, because, you know, that's what's going on. They can't let silver break out. Rustin Benham, we can tamp down the price to prevent it from getting out of control. That's essentially what he said on the record, didn't he?
Right, he did say that, and it makes total sense. Silver is such a small market in relation to gold. There's no way they could let silver start running to the upside and still keep the price of gold down. And understand, they have to keep the price of gold down. I've said this for years, because gold is the direct competitor to the world's reserve currency, the dollar. And if you had $5,000, $10,000, $20,000 gold, what would that mean to the ability of the U.S. Treasury to borrow money? There would be obvious skepticism about having your money in dollars because they're depreciating versus the benchmark. The benchmark is gold.
You know, let me tell you a little story real briefly. We had to get our carpets cleaned the other day. My son got sick in the middle of the night, our teenage son, and he vomited all over his bedroom carpet. So we had to get the carpets cleaned. And the guy who came over to clean the carpets was a very nice Mexican guy here living in the United States. You know, those Mexican dudes, they are the hardest working guys. They're the guys that'll put a new roof on your house when it's 90 degrees out, guys. You don't see too many Americans up there doing the roof work. I have nothing but respect for those Mexican folks. And this guy was particularly nice. And I decided to tip him, right? So as he was doing the work, I thought, how can I tip him? Do I tip him 20, 30 bucks? I thought, nope, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to give this man 1 ounce of silver and I'm going to teach him about silver and how undervalued it is. And I'm going to show him how he can stack his own. And I did that. We sat down on my couch for 10 minutes and I schooled him. I schooled him about silver and I gave him an Aztec silver round that I had been gifted, I think from my friend Chris Marcus, actually. And I just paid it forward that way. And I hope it changes his life, Bill, because most folks don't know about silver and most folks don't own a single ounce of physical silver.
Yeah, well, that's obvious. Most folks don't own an ounce of silver. I mean, we've got what, close to 8 billion people on the planet. I'm not sure there's a billion ounces above ground that could be spread around. There's way more gold ounces above ground and in tradable form than there are silver ounces. Yep. Because silver gets used industrially, medicinally, in the green revolution with solar panels, technological uses. I mean, silver gets used primarily, and gold gets hoarded.
Well, silver's the people's money too, right? I think that's why the bankers want to crush it, because they don't want we the people turning back to any honest form of preservation of our wealth. Silver should be preserving our wealth, and it will. I think it's going to do very well. I want people to own it so they can protect themselves from what's coming, because I keep saying from what's coming, it's already here. I'm going to play a clip here in a second with some charts and some statistics that are really going to wake people up. I mean, people are feeling the pinch. It's not just that little girl over in the UK lamenting the high price of ice cream, Bill. It's people trying to put fuel in their car, food on their table, and pay their rent in this country. People are feeling desperate, and they don't have anything. They don't have a safe full of silver when the shit hits the fan, Bill. And I'm really, it sucks. I'm concerned about it. I wish everybody could protect themselves.
Yeah, just understand that they have to smash silver down, because silver, if it gets loose to the upside, will be the fuse on gold and gold will explode. And what they have to protect against is the dollar collapsing versus the price of gold, because that's the direct benchmark versus the U.S. dollar, which, as I mentioned, and everybody knows, is the world's reserve currency. So silver getting out of control to the upside launches gold, and that's the reason they have to keep their foot on silver's throat to keep it down so that it does not spark gold. But doesn't look like they're doing a very good job of it right now.
No, I think they're going to lose control. They're losing control because the whole world is turning away in droves from the dollar, and the BRICS have announced that they're turning officially away from the dollar, like officially now. This is no more like theory. They're turning away from the dollar. They're abandoning the dollar, which has been weaponized, which leaves the Fed bankrupt. The Fed is bankrupt, Bill. Most people have no idea what that means. The Fed is hopelessly bankrupt. They can't prevent this system from being unraveled at this point. It's getting so bad that we're flying people over to Japan, begging them not to sell U.S. treasuries as the yen plummets in value. Do you want to just explain what's going on with that situation? It's kind of a horror show, especially for the Japanese, but especially for those of us who rely on the dollar. The future of the dollar looks very, very, very bleak, Bill.
The U.S. looks just like Japan did 20 plus years ago. Japan went through a period of time where basically interest rates were zero for, 15, 20 years. Now they're being dragged into raising interest rates, but the problem is you've got all this debt that's out there at 0% and nothing can get refinanced. And you're seeing that in the commercial real estate market here in the U.S. Those loans are generally five-year loans that roll over, and stuff that was done in 2018, 19 at less than 1%. I mean, now you're looking at 5%. So, you know, if they were paying adjusted, say, 3 or 4%, now they're going to have to roll it over at 7 or 8%, and it doesn't make sense. And the problem with the yen is that the Bank of Japan is bankrupt. So that's one of the reasons you're seeing the yen weaken so much. And actually, the Federal Reserve, I wouldn't classify them as bankrupt. I would classify them as insolvent. And the reason I say insolvent, they had about 60 in early in 2022, they had about $65 billion in equity. And understand, that equity is what held up the entire inverted pyramid. Only problem is they lost $160 billion last year because interest rates were going higher. So their equity position right now is negative, and that is insolvent.
Insolvent. Yeah, that's a good word. Okay, I want to just remind people of the financial crisis. That's what they call it. Whenever the banks need a bailout, they call it a financial crisis. When we, the people, need a bailout, it's called a recession.
Oh, shit.
Right? Yeah.
It's tough shit when we need a bailout.
Right. We'll take people back to the financial crisis of 2008, 2009, and remind people of how bad that was. Do you guys all realize that something broke in 2021 and we're in far worse shape now than 08, 09, and they're just papering over it and they're not telling the people? Guys, this is the moment. This is what we've been waiting for. It's happening. I want to play just about a minute or two from Simply Bitcoin. Going to share some really important data and statistics to help wake people up.
Briggs had a really good thread, and let's go through some of this. What the happened in 2021? Things took a major turn. As we can see here, the real average hourly earnings, 4% below trend, staggering considering where they were in 2021. Debt to income ratio for all home buyers. This is absolutely insane. And why the you'll own nothing and be happy is becoming more of a reality as the fiat system is widening wealth disparity at record pace. The Federal Reserve's earnings since 2011 off a cliff. This is wild as well. We can look at different things that may be the cause, but I think broken money, the root here, as life expectancy in the U.S. is dropping and sharply. Not to mention Joe Consorti drops this right here. Bank deposits are contracting faster and more aggressively than at any time in the past 50 years. You know, it's probably nothing. We kind of set the stage with the Big Short, those 08 vibes, and here we are, mortgage rates now higher than 2007. The 20-year bond ETF is down an eye-watering 50% from its highs in 2020. Then we can see again, history doesn't always repeat, but it does rhyme. We have the dot-com bubble, the financial crisis, the vid, and then here we are, job openings collapsing again. And these are all also signs of the money printer coming back in full force. Look at that rate of change on monthly mortgage payments. How are people supposed to get by? You can't in the fiat system. You have to get out of it.
I wonder if we could go back to that chart. Let me show you guys this. This is actually pretty stunning. Hold on. Back in 2002, the average monthly payment on a new mortgage was $1,000. Today, it's nearly $3,000. Bill, let's just pause there and talk about this. Bank deposits down the most in 50 years. The 20-year bond ETF down 50%. You know, he gave me the perfect title for this video, Broken Money.
Yeah, that's a true story. I mean, that's the bottom line as to what's going on is the money is bad because the money's not real. The money is made up.
We'll go back and we'll play just a little bit more of that because some of these statistics and charts, you know, I pay attention to this stuff, but some of this was new to me. This is how bad it's getting.
How are people supposed to get by? You can't in the fiat system. You have to get out of it. Being within it is enabling it. Shocking stat of the day, $2.1 trillion of excess savings have been wiped out of the U.S. economy since August of 2021. This is theft. And why Balaji said the banking system broke in 2023. They're just hiding it. And look at how far beyond 08 we are. The great financial crisis bailout is just a little blip versus what the Fed is doing today, right now, just now to support the banks with liquidity.
All right, we're going to pause it there on liquidity. Let's go back to that chart. Bill, what do you make of this? The great financial crisis of 08, 09 is being dwarfed
by what's going on right now. And they're not talking about it. Nobody's really talking about this, Bill. I mean, I don't hear CNBC sounding the alarm for their viewers.
Well, it really resurfaced in September, October of 2019, when we had the repo crisis and repo rates went from basically from 1% or less to over 10% overnight. And if you look at that chart, that basically shows you, if you can go back in your mind to the October, November of 2008, do you remember they were talking about TARP and doing $700 billion, and people were freaking out. Oh my God, $700 billion. They're looting the Treasury. Well, at this point, fast forward 15 years or whatever, the Treasury's borrowing $1 trillion every 100 days. So when people are freaking out over $700 billion in 2008, I mean, we're doing multiples of that now just to prop the system up. So yeah, the problem was never fixed, and the problem has gotten exponentially larger than it was in 2008, 2009.
Exponentially larger, which means the collapse is going exponentially worse than it. They should have just let this thing collapse in 08, 09. We'd be over it by now.
Right. If you took the banks that went down last March and April, the four banks, their assets totaled more than all the banks that went down back in 2008, 2009. So no, that obviously shows you that the problem is so much larger. That was just four banks. You know, now what happens if you get a money center bank, if you have another Lehman moment, and they got to come in and they got to bail out Bank America, they got to come out and bail out Citi or Wells Fargo, or, you know, God forbid, JP Morgan. Any one of those banks completely wipes out everything and anything and everything that the FDIC has stockpiled. It's roughly $125 billion to bail out a bank, or to bail out all the banks. And just one bank would eat up that $125 billion on its own.
I want to play a little bit more of this, and then I want to ask you about the Great Taking. I don't know if you've seen that documentary, but I've seen it. I've shared it at thephaser.com. Okay. I listened to an interview, a detailed interview, about a one-hour interview with the guy who is the author of The Great Taking. And man, oh man, is he spot on. And we'll talk about that in just one second. The Great Taking, the DTCC, and the fact that nobody really owns anything anymore. You're just a creditor. Will be standing in line when the system collapses.
Just now to support the banks with liquidity. And people wonder why the market is up. When the games stop, Bitcoin's going to 60 million. Check out this clip from Larry Lepard and ask yourself, what side are you going to be on when everyone wakes up and realizes the Fed is bankrupt?
The Silicon Valley Bank was bankrupt. 2 weeks ahead of that, nobody knew. 1 week ahead of it, one accountant knew. He played the telephone game and told some friends. Mm-hmm. They had internet connections and friends. Boom, a week later, it was gone.
And they're bankrupt.
And they're bankrupt. Wow. Think about that. Federal Reserve, we know it's bankrupt. You and I know it's bankrupt. Yeah. I'm not sure it's going to spread with the same kind of rapidity.
Yeah.
But it's an interesting model, isn't
it? Yes.
I mean, if suddenly you'd rather be a little early rather than a little late when everyone says, holy shit, this dollar is no goddamn good.
Yeah.
I want to exchange mine for shit.
Yes.
That's the part I wanted to get to, Bill. The Great Awakening. You want to talk about the Great Taking? What about the Great Awakening? When the world wakes up and realizes, oh my God, the dollar is shit. Cash is trash. That day's coming, brother.
Yeah, that day is definitely coming. And people are beginning. They are beginning to wake up. More and more people know that something's wrong, whether they know exactly what it is or not. That's at this point kind of not important. It's just important that more and more people are understanding that they're being lied to every day by government, by media. As far as the Great Taking, David Rogers Webb, what he put together there, everything is footnoted. So understand that when you read that or when you watch a video clip on the Great Taking, that is not speculation in any form whatsoever, because all of those laws are already on the books. And I mean, the laws that he spoke about, everything was footnoted. You can track it back. You can see that they're absolutely on the books. And then you got to ask yourself, why would they put laws like that on the books if they're not going to use them? Well, they're going to use them. And when you put money into a bank, you're not a depositor, you're a lender. And when your bank goes down, you are the most subordinated creditor there is. So they're basically going to take your money, and that will reliquify or make the bank solvent or try to save the bank. And understand, if you have stocks with a broker that are in street name, those stocks are on your broker's balance sheet for your benefit. When they go down, you have, again, you are the most subordinated creditor there is. You have no legal right to your stocks. They're your stocks in your mind. But in law, they are the broker's stocks. And if the broker needs to raise capital to survive, they're going to do it with your stocks and with your bonds. So just understand, when they say you will own nothing, this is how you're going to own nothing. And there's not a thing you can do about it. If you have money in the banks, you need to get that out from underneath the bank, because they're going to take your money. You've got to get it out of the system. Same thing with stocks and bonds. If you're hell-bent on owning stocks, what you need to do is you need to have your broker send the securities to the transfer agent. Once it's at the transfer agent, so that's considered DRS, direct registration. Once the transfer agent has your securities, then you tell the transfer agent, I want my certificates. Once you have your certificates in hand, that is proof of ownership. That is ownership. So it can't be taken away from you. But if you've got stocks and bonds in a brokerage account and they're in street name, they're not your stocks. They're not your bonds. They're on the broker's balance sheet. And when they go down, your stuff's going to go down with it, and you have no recourse whatsoever. So you need to act before this happens. You need to get your money out of the bank, and you need to get your certificates out from underneath the broker.
Now, the great taking guy, I jotted down the name you shared, David Rogers Webb. Is that his name?
Yes.
Okay. Because that interview I listened to for about an hour while I was working out was really revealing and telling and interesting. The guy's really bright. And he said, and I'm paraphrasing, I wish I had it queued up. He basically said he's not convinced that this collapse will happen, because what he's trying to do is get the money masters, or at least those who have inherited the money from the money masters. This was all set up by a previous generation. They put this in place so they could steal everything from all of us. But the point Webb is making to the generation that's now in control is, this will destroy you. This will destroy the entire system. They will go down with the ship if they do this, Bill. What do you make of that? Because I thought it was very interesting, an interesting insight. These kamikaze bankers, the offspring of the people who set this up, they're going to go down with the ship if they try to pull this off.
Yeah, I don't know. That's like thinking that the white hats are in charge. I don't think that's the case. I do think this thing's going to go down. And I do think that when enough of these money managers become clued in as to what's happening, there's your bank run. And that bank run is going to be into gold and silver as a way to get out of the system.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I think that's not correct speculation on his part. I do believe this thing is going to go down. I don't think that there's, you know, a new generation that is going to figure it out and say, kumbaya, we're going to fix this.
Mm. So it's a game of musical chairs, and everybody can hear the music slowing down, and people are looking for that last available chair. And when that happens, when the music stops, that's the bank run. That's the precipice. We go over the cliff. There's no stopping it.
Right. Yeah. And again, just to be clear, when I say bank run, I'm not talking about people running to the bank and getting their cash or am scoring your cash. Because in a breakdown, where do you move your cash? Do you move it to Treasury Direct? Yeah, you can do that, but the bottom line is you're still going to get paid in dollars that are going to be crushed because all currencies are credit based. And I do want to mention something about China afterwards, if you can remind me, Sean. But all currencies are credit based, so there is no place to hide within paper. You're going to have to buy real stuff, whether it be gold and silver, and that's obvious because those are monies. They're easy. They're fungible. They can't bankrupt. They're monies for several reasons. But I mean, you could look at real estate. But again, do you really own the real estate? Can the real estate be taxed away from you? People are starting to see that now with $10,000, $20,000, $30,000 a year tax bills in hyperinflation. What happens when the house that you bought for $200,000 10, 20 years ago, you're paying $50,000 or $100,000 per year just in taxes? So you've got to get your money, your capital out of the system. And yeah, there are some things you can do. I mean, you can buy art, you can buy classic autos, but they're not liquid. Gold and silver are the most liquid in the world, and they cannot bankrupt. And that's where the capital is going to flow to.
Well, we'll get your thoughts here on China. I jotted that down so you don't forget, but I just want to show people.
Yeah.
Fiat in Venezuela, so worthless, people throw it in the garbage.
Right.
El banco mandó a votar, ¿eh?
It's bags full of fiat. By the way, a little perspective. If your salary was $500,000 per day, every day, weekends and holidays included, since the Great Pyramid in Egypt was built, and you spent nothing, you'd still have less money today than the U.S. government borrowed in March to operate through September of 2024. You want to talk about a Ponzi scheme? Broken money. This can't even be described as money anymore, Bill.
No, and again, Sean, we're at the phase now, we're at the exponential phase with the U.S. I mean, you can see that the interest on the debt is going to be $1.5 trillion by the end of this year. We're borrowing $1 trillion every 100 days. It's a fiscal train wreck. And yeah, you're talking about a bankrupt treasury.
China. I jotted down China. What do you want to tell us
yeah,
about?
Yeah, what I want to mention about that is the moves. The big moves in currencies and in currencies versus gold and silver started back in October, November of last year. And I don't think that it's a coincidence that as of December, January, the growth in credit in China turned negative. And just a month or two back, the money supply has now turned negative in China. So it's my thought process that the movement into gold and silver for the last 6 months, and it's been a pretty good move. I mean, you've got silver up, call it real close to 50%, gold's up 35-40%. That move started and has continued. I don't think 100% because of fear of Western fiat currencies declining in value. Another way to say that is inflation. I believe that you're seeing a mass move into gold from the Chinese because they're looking at their fiat system and seeing a credit collapse right in front of them. Credit itself is declining, money supply is declining, and gold and silver cannot bankrupt. So if you've got a declining credit market, and remember, since, 2002, every time there was a deflation fear or scare worldwide, China would step up, blow their credit issuance through the roof, and reflate the system. And I think Asians are questioning whether or not China can reflate the system or not. I mean, look at one of the things they're doing right now. They're talking about buying millions of houses because they're underwater and they're trying to reliquefy the system. So I think that there's a danger that we have a deflationary crack coming out of China. And obviously, a deflationary crack in China, what they hold, what, $1 trillion worth of treasuries. What happens when those treasuries hit the market? What happens to U.S. interest rates? They go to 7, 8, 10%. And Japan, the same thing. Japan's going to have to sell a good portion of their trillion plus in treasuries just to save themselves. So this is not a U.S.-centric problem. And that's not the reason money is going into gold and silver, strictly because of a U.S. problem. There's also a very, very big Asian problem.
So the prediction is, I'll make it, you tell me if I'm right, printer go burr. They're going to print all over the world, QE to infinity. It's going to be a race to the bottom. But to prevent a collapse, they're going to hyperinflate all the currencies of the world. China's printing. Printer go burr in China. It's never stopped. And judging by the charts we just saw and the statistics I shared from that Simply Bitcoin video, the same is true here. The Fed, money go burr. The printer go burr. They're just going to print to infinity and debase the currency to worthlessness, Bill. That's how the story ends.
Yeah, and this was talked about. Richard Russell coined the phrase inflate or die. And my deceased partner, Jim Sinclair, coined the term QE to infinity. And that's where it has to go. The money goes to zero. Money becomes worthless. And the only real monies are going to be gold and silver. You and I could debate whether Bitcoin or some other crypto. I would just suggest that the blockchain would be far better used if it was accounting for something real as opposed to accounting for something that's, you know, whatever it is.
As we round out the conversation, I want to share one more meme here and get your thoughts on it, Bill, because I have neighbors with whom we're friendly right here in our neighborhood. None of them can speak the language you and I are speaking. My neighbor, I don't want to call him out. He's a good guy. I talked about him before. He took the bioweapon masquerading as a vaccine against my advice. He doesn't own any gold or silver. So I think this meme is very telling. And it's why I wanted to educate that nice Mexican dude who cleaned our carpets by giving him 1 ounce of silver and showing him where he can buy it and get free shipping on orders over $199 at SD Bullion. I literally took him to the website. I showed him how to do it. I said, you should buy 5 ounces a month, whatever you can afford, or save your money by 10 ounces every 2 months. But Wall Street Silver is right. Trying to help people understand what's going on right now, at least the normies, is like going back into a burning building to pull someone out, only to have them keep punching you in the face and demand evidence that the building is on fire, even after they admit they can see the flames. And I'm just trying to wake people up. So are you.
Yeah. The way they explain that in Texas is you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink.
Yep, it's true. All righty. Well, final word from you. Neither of us like making predictions because this has been a brutal space for, 20 years. But silver, once it pierces 30 decisively, 31, 32, where does this thing go? And once it breaks 50, where the hell does this thing go?
Yeah, you kind of answered it yourself. Once it goes through 30, there's really nothing on the chart as far as resistance between $30 and $50. $50 will be the big fight, and that'll be the third time. You got 1980, you got 2011, and then current time trying to break through 50. Once it breaks through 50, then all hell breaks loose, and your fiat loses purchasing power noticeably every day. That's hyperinflation.
Hyperinflation. Can you imagine how bad that's going to be when people right now are freaking out over the current rate of inflation, which the Fed lies about, right, and the government stats lie about? It's certainly got to be close to 15%. What do you think it is right now? Because people are making videos on Twitter and TikTok freaking out about not being able to pay their bills now. And we're not anywhere near hyperinflation, Bill.
Yeah, I think John Williams has inflation at 17%. But just understand, it's not going to be just inflation. It's going to be inflation of the things you need and have to live, and deflation of the things you have. meaning your stocks, your bonds, your real estate, to the point where dealers themselves, banks, brokers, they go out of business. Then you're talking about a hyperinflation and you lost all your capital because your bank or broker or whatever failed and bailed you in. So it's going to be a disaster. And, you know, people called me, basically, I was called, you know, completely retarded in 2015, 16, 17, when I was using the term or the two terms of Civil War and Mad Max. I mean, look today. And I mean, you got ABC, NBC, Fox, CNN. They're all using the term Civil War. They've all used the term Mad Max. So maybe I wasn't an idiot. I was just before my time.
100%. No, you're no idiot, Bill. This has been a difficult space to navigate for the past decade plus because of the bankster paper. You know, and that's one thing I really bump on with Peter Schiff. You know, he spends all day maligning Bitcoin. Fine, he doesn't like Bitcoin. I get it. Don't buy it. But he never tells his followers or his investors the truth about the paper manipulation of gold or silver. You know, when gold endures a waterfall event, as it has so many times, just like silver, he calls that profit taking. It's called manipulation, Bill. It's manipulation.
Yeah, that's bullshit. It's blatant manipulation and it's done. We all know how it's done. It's done by selling paper contracts that have no gold, have no silver behind them. When you see these waterfall events, you're not watching people puke physical metal. 99% of the time when any entity, whether it be an individual, whether it be a hedge fund or a family office or a central bank, when they buy gold, when they buy silver, that stuff is held for years and years and years. It's not traded. What you're seeing traded is pure paper. And it's traded on purpose to create a price. And the price that they want to create is as low as possible. Because again, well, as we talked at the very beginning of this interview, they have to keep the price of gold down because it is the direct competitor to the dollar, which is the world's reserve currency. So, I mean, they've done what they had to do. It's not that I don't even think it's something they wanted to do. It's something they had to and were required to do to keep the Ponzi scheme going. Otherwise, confidence would break. And this whole thing is run on confidence. Thus, con game.
Yep. That's right. It's one big con game. And I think they're running out of paper. They might run out of trees at this point. They've been printing so much paper. And
no, Sean. No, they'll never run out of electronic paper. That will never happen. What will happen, and I've been on the record on this for at least 10, 12 years, there's going to be a failure to deliver. When somebody buys a piece of their paper that they're, you know, so easily sell, and they stand for delivery and say, I want my gold or I want my silver, and that gold or silver can't be delivered, the entire game is over. So no, there will never be an end to electronic paper until they fail to deliver and it shows that that electronic paper is completely worthless.
Perfectly said. Guys, this is why you stack physical gold and physical silver, and you do it as quickly as possible while these prices are still artificially low. And sub $30 silver is still artificially low. Sub $50 silver. Actually, to be honest with you guys, if silver was $150 USD today, I would still tell you that it is undervalued. It is still the most undervalued tangible asset on planet Earth, especially, Bill, given the silver to gold ratio, pulling it out of the Earth's crust at 7 or 8 to 1. For every ounce of gold they find 7 or 8 ounces of silver. And yet this manipulated price has the silver to gold ratio closer to what, 80, 85 to 1? It's absolutely 100% absurd.
Gold and silver in the crust. There's 10 ounces of silver for every 1 ounce of gold in the Earth's surface. Man's ratio is 82 to 1. Historically, going back hundreds or thousand years, the gold-silver ratio was 16 to 1. And the reason it was 16 to 1 is because it was 10 to 1 coming out of the ground, but it took 10 times more silver to move the same amount of capital. And, of course, they had to do it by horseback or carriage. So what they did was they discounted silver from 10 to 1 to 16 to 1. And then, you know, 1976 came around with the with COMEX and the financial derivatives, and they've blown that number. It got up as high as 120. It's now 82. But even if it comes down only to 40 to 1, that means silver is going to outperform gold 2 to 1. And at that point, you'd want to start selling some of your silver, buy gold, buy less expensive or relatively less expensive gold to silver, and you'll end up with twice as many ounces as you would have if you just bought the gold today.
Bill, I want to thank you so much for your time. We'll remind people of your website here, billholter.com. Scroll right on back to the top. Thanks, brother. Anything else you want to tell people?
Yeah, just do the best you can. You know, don't try to rely on anyone else to do anything for you. Nobody's going to save you other than you.
You know, I just made that point in a tweet recently, and I don't remember what it was in response to. Maybe Peter Schiff. I think it was. It was in response to Peter Schiff's endless Bitcoin bashing as I showed the 10-year chart. And I said, think for yourself. Think for yourself, friends. Stack some silver and gold in physical form. I'll leave a few links below, including the link to Bill's site, billholter.com. Thank you, Bill.
Thank you, Sean.
Guys, thanks so much for tuning in. As always, I really do appreciate you. Spread this far and wide within your sphere of influence on social media. And I'll remind you every single day for free, visit us at sgtreport.com to get the antidote to corporate propaganda and all of those CNN, CNBC, Mockingbird mainstream media lies. God bless you and yours. Bye-bye.
I have a lot of hope, and there's, maybe do a part two interview, because I could spend a whole show talking about why I have hope. But I believe at the end of the day that the good, upright, moral, and righteous people will seize control of the earth again and take away the power that this satanic, bloodlusting cabal has had for millennia.